Welcome to this month's special guest interview.
This month, I'm very pleased to have Wade T. Lightheart as my special expert guest. Three-time Canadian National Natural Bodybuilding Champion and world-renowned nutritional coach, Wade Lightheart has helped thousands of individuals from all walks of life transform their health and improve their lives by adopting his easy-to-follow, awesome philosophy for optimum health and fitness. Wade's achievements as a health and wellness author, elite athletic trainer, and founder of the Institute for Advanced Natural Health Sciences have led him to dedicate his life to helping others achieve physical, mental, and spiritual balance. Wade is routinely featured on radio, television, and internet sites as a guest expert and in newspaper and magazine articles, where he shares his winning health formula that is the foundation of his latest educational series, Maximum Vital Power for Healing, Health, and High Performance. Wade keeps himself busy captivating audiences around the world with his dynamic, interactive, and inspiring seminars, while his books on health and nutrition continue to be sold in over 80 countries. Good morning, Wade. Welcome to this month's edition of Sports Nutrition Update.
Good morning, Corey. It's a delight and an honor to be on the call today.
Well, thank you. And we have so much to discuss, and I know this is going to be a great interview. One of the questions I always ask is about you yourself personally and your connection to health and wellness. I know you've got a strong athletic history. So why don't you tell us about that and what got you into sports and how it affected your life?
Sure thing. I mean, I think I, like most kids, I mean, play was just a natural evolution into formalized sports, and I got into hockey and running and exercise and all those kind of things are just natural functions of being a kid growing up outside the digital world, I guess. And that kind of went along pretty much till I was about 15. And when I was 15, I had kind of a double whammy of life-changing moments. And that double whammy was, first, my sister tossed me a bodybuilding magazine. And that had, I still remember today, had Troy Zuccotto on the cover, who was at the time Mr. California, and these two very beautiful women on it. And I thought, that's how you must get girls, you know, being 15 and driven mad by testosterone. I thought I needed to have these muscles. The other thing that happened at almost the same time, just a month or two later, is my sister was diagnosed with Hodgkin's disease. And over the next 4 years, I watched her kind of go through the allopathic model. And despite the heroic efforts of my parents, of the doctors, and all this sort of stuff, she died. And it was not a pleasant transition. It was quite painful for everyone involved. And that got me thinking about, you know, the role of life and death and health and vitality. And it seemed to me that the allopathic model was generally studying the causes of disease or the supposed causes of disease and developing treatments and things that were more or less effective. Well, that didn't make sense to me as an athlete. As an athlete, if I want to be a great bodybuilder, I study the best bodybuilders. Or if I want to be a great volleyball player, I study the best volleyball player. So I said, well, I want to know how to be the healthiest, strongest, fittest person I could be. So I'm going to just start studying everything I can to produce that result. That just made sense to me. So that was the beginning of my journey, I guess. And then I got into exercise physiology at university. And from there, though, I found that in a lot of cases that the university model, although again it was heavy on information, gave you a background, a lot of the information wasn't practical. In other words, it was lots of great stuff about how things work, but how do I actually do this on a daily basis? How do I make this a ritual? How do I make it an action? And so then I just went out and sought mentor after mentor and learn from them, because they can cut the learning curve probably faster than anything and give me practical solutions that I can apply daily.
Wow, that's heavy, man. That's great. You know, you and I share some of the same, I guess, enthusiasm and drive that we see in other great athletes and great people that we admire. And so that's something that you absolutely have. And that's one of the reasons why I wanted to get you on the show, to, you know, get people into understanding the causative mechanism behind what drives someone like Wade Lightheart. Now, you and I went to Greece and we both competed at the INBA, what was that, the Natural Olympia 2007, and you're a bodybuilding champion, and you've been around the block, and you've got a lot of experience. Now, people that go into bodybuilding have certain expectations, but what are some of the life lessons that you learned by actually competing in that sport?
Wow, I mean, bodybuilding has been paramount in everything, really, that I've learned in the health and wellness industry. And the first thing is, it starts out with a desire to achieve a certain outcome. And when I first started, of course, that was a cosmetic ideal, and what I felt was the corollary rewards that that ideal would bring me. And I'll get back to that in a second. Then I had to set out a course of action. In other words, how am I going to choose this? So then we go and we study who's doing the best results, who's producing the best results, and start practicing those principles. So in other words, knowledge isn't enough. You've got to take action with whatever knowledge that you have. Now, I certainly did not have any idea of how I was going to be able to compete at a Mr. Universe contest, but I certainly wanted to. So I just started, the first thing was I had to start lifting weights. And so I didn't have a gym, so I had to build a gym, you know, and you just kind of, you go out to the very ultimate achievement of the goal, and then you work backwards. So from Mr. Universe, I saw Arnold competing in these Mr. Universe, and I wanted to do that too. So I went, well, I have to be Mr. Canada. To be Mr. Canada, I have to be the provincial champion. To be the provincial champion, I have to be the local champion. To be the local champion, I have to have some muscles. And to have some muscles, I got to lift some weights. And if I don't have weights, I better build a gym. So I just set to it about the little simple steps that I could get to the next point in going in the more or less the general direction of where I wanted to go. And that was the biggest aspect I think I learned from bodybuilding to start. First, come up with what you want, develop a plan, and start taking action on it. Then as this sport evolved for me and as my process evolved, what happened then is I recognized, well, there was things I needed to learn. There were kind of sidetracks. There were adjustments that had to be made. There was obstacles that I had to overcome. And at first, many of them were met with frustration. Well, then eventually, bodybuilding is a very challenging and rigorous sport. It takes incredible determination. And, of course, mental will, because you have to overcome, in a lot of cases, physical pain. And learning to overcome those aspects, both mentally and physically, to achieve my heart's outcome or my desire of my soul, if you will, became a fascinating topic. And then you start being able to translate those principles into other areas of life. Oh, I want to live in this type of place, or I want to have this type of lifestyle, or I want to go to this place. You use that process over and over and over again.
Right. So really, it's a lot more than just a sport. And I know that you and I both know that people don't really understand. It's not something that you really get until you actually try it and do it, which I love it when people come to me and say, hey, Corey, you know, I've never competed. I'd like to compete. What do I need to do? Now, what do you think are some of the biggest mistakes that bodybuilders are making in today's competitive world?
Well, I think the first step, I mean, let's call a spade a spade. I mean, primarily the driving motivation for most people who get involved in bodybuilding is for somehow they're comparing themselves to someone else. In other words, they're looking at a picture in a magazine of either hypermasculinity or hyperfemininity, and there's a certain level of insecurity that's developed. That's how marketing works today. And what happens is people set out on a course of action to get this, thinking that that external is going to feed their internal desire. And if you do that, you're going to get caught up with those who are going to take advantage of your irrationalities or your insecurities for their own financial advantage. And this happens throughout the sport of bodybuilding, where they've taken a beautiful, fantastic, health-building, vital sport, maybe one of the greatest ever, and turned it into really a drug culture for most people by feeding on the insecurities because, you know, that little kid can't be big enough or can't be strong enough or lean enough or pretty enough or curvy enough or whatever it happens to be. And that cycle keeps repeating itself until somehow the individual has a reality check, whether it's financial, whether it's physical, whether it's emotional. And then and only then do they really kind of have the opportunity to discover what there really drives them and what really makes them who they are.
Ain't that the truth? Well said, my friend. That's really good stuff. I'm going to turn that one into maybe an exam question, what you just said.
Thanks.
So Now, your awesome philosophy, AWESOME, that's an acronym. Tell us about that.
Yeah, you know, over the years, I mean, I've been doing training and nutritional programs for people for about 20 years, and I've always looked at a way that I could take a simple and easy philosophy, hand it to someone and say, here's where you spend your time, energy, and resources next. In other words, it's very hard for people to maybe do everything that they need to do, but they certainly can do the next thing that they need to do when either beginning a journey or continuing a journey or hitting the highest level of a journey, it's the same thing. What is the next thing that I can add or implement or optimize in my routine? And over the years, I looked at, well, how do I break this down into practical concepts that everybody can grasp and that make sense and are proven in reality? So AWESOME, the acronym, stands for Air, Water, Exercise, Sunlight, Optimizers, Mental Beliefs and Attitudes, Education, Testing, and Coaching. And so I looked at it this way. I looked at, if you're looking at the care and sustenance of the body or the optimization of its functions, the most important thing a person can get on that list is air. And we know this because it's the first thing that you do when you get on the planet. It's the last thing you do before you get off the planet. And so recognizing that breath is the source of life. In fact, you can go a long time without food, months. You can go days or maybe a week without water, but you can only go a few minutes without air. So obviously developing a good awareness and breathing practice on a daily basis is of paramount importance. And of course, I think one of the major benefits of being an athlete is that you develop breathing practices just as a result of what you're subjecting yourself to. But of course, you can take these deeper, whether you're a singer, whether you're a dancer, whether you're just someone who wants to enjoy a better level of energy and respiration, you know, like a yoga practitioner, oxygen and air getting into the system is very, very important, and very few people actually know how to breathe. You know, breathing is relatively cost-effective. You know, it doesn't cost much, so you don't hear a whole lot about it talked on the, you know, on magazines and TVs and all that sort of stuff, because there's not a whole lot of money in air. So we always start with the breath each time. The next thing on the AWESOME formula is water. And I am just sheerly blown away by water. I've been studying water for over 10 years, and the summation is we know almost nothing about water. I refer everyone to a great DVD that's out there called Water, the Great Mystery, and it's all the top water researchers in the world. And inside that, they said, the structure of your water is more important than the chemical compounds. Well, that just blew me away. And since then, I've been researching all the other principles of water besides just the basic chemistry of H2O. And that's been an ongoing study. And I believe today, in the environment that we live in, we've got some significant challenges around the water that we're drinking. I mean, we're lucky here in the industrialized world that we get water sent right into our homes, where there's over a billion people that don't have water readily accessible. But the thing is what is in that water? What's in bottled water? Is these things that optimize the function of our body? What is the effects of reverse osmosis or filtered water or spring water or, you know, all these different devices and machines and wands and waves and frequency devices and all these things that now we can affect the structure or how water affects us, like Masaru Emoto's work with messages in water, I think was amazing, you know, how they play Mozart and the water changes, and then you play some heavy metal music and the water changes and disrupts it, and it's very interesting stuff. So understanding the role of water in our lives, because primarily we've got addicted to all these things that aren't water, you know, the sports drinks, sodas, teas, coffees, juices, all these things that primarily component water, but actually inside the body hydrate us differently. And hydration is important. And of course, as we live in a, you know, a more and more toxic world with all the man-made agents that we are being subjected to, we have to recognize the solution to pollution is dilution. So getting good water into the body and flushing out maybe water that's in its less than optimal state out of the body, I think, is something everybody needs to address both personally and for their family, and also the environmental impact that they're having with their water choices and selections. Then we move on to exercise. Now, I put exercise as third on the list, and the reason being is this. If you were to have a broken bone or you were put into a bed for an extended period of time, what happens to the body? Well, it wastes away quite rapidly. In fact, you know, it's one of the big things that happens with someone when they're bedridden or in hospital care is that, and you know this, Corey, the physiology of the body suffers extremely fast. It degenerates very quickly in those type of settings. So in other words, actually moving the physical body, exercising the muscles, pumping the lymphatic fluid, the venous supply, operating the nervous system and the organs and all those wonderful systems that make the body move, what we term it as exercise is an important component and lost on so many people inside the industrialized world where we've got, you know, a remote control for everything, automatic this. We don't live the life that humans have developed over the centuries of regular physical exercise. Now it's possible to actually sit in your home and do absolutely nothing, be completely immobilized, have food delivered to your door, money made on an electrical account. You can even have sex virtually now. So, I mean, it's like people have digitalized themselves and forgot they had this amazing pinnacle of development on this planet of the human body. And the moving and expressing that adds not only just physical benefits, but also mental and emotional benefits. It's a real thrill to get inside that. And if people would have just addressed those three issues first and foremost, they would be on the track for health and vitality. And then you can get to the other things and the things that we learned inside your course and that sort of thing is what are the components that optimize the function or deal with the challenge we might have, whether they be genetic or environmental, and keep moving forward. And that's when we get into sunlight. Now, I look at sun as the source of all energy on our planet. We live in a solar system. In other words, if you look at everything and you break it down to its, you know, using critical factor analysis, what is the common component of everything? Well, we're really just frozen light or condensed versions of light. And so when I look at nutrition, when I look at health, when I look at vitality, emotionality, all these sort of things, I look at it in forms of functions of light or frequency. So when I select my nutrition, I look at how vibrant it is, how much energy it is, how much life force does it have. These type of things are the selection of my food choices or my energetic choices, whether it be, am I going to go into a sunny place or I'm going into a light place? These are very, very simple things that anybody, if they just tune into themselves, can recognize. I mean, would you rather take a vacation in, you know, the middle of the North Pole when it's 24 hours darkness or 40 below zero? Or would you rather be on a sunny beach, you know, with the ocean waves crashing in and fresh fruit trees and the light shining down and you giving you a wonderful tan? I mean, most people would choose the latter. So connecting with light and not being so afraid of it, like we're conditioned by mass marketers to be like terrified of the light, just seems insane to me considering heliotherapy has been used for thousands of years. And then moving on to that, we get into the O part of the awesome formula, which is optimizers, which is enzymes, probiotics, minerals, vitamins, amino acids, essential fatty acids, and herbs in particular. Those are the things that I find that people have to pay attention to in order to optimize the function and protection of the human organism and to avoid the effects of degeneration, aging, or the onset of dis-ease. And so each one of those is a whole topic in itself. I won't get into all the details just yet. And then we moving on forward to the M part, which is mental beliefs and attitudes. And that, and you know, if the acronym could have probably started with this, because you know, where the mind goes, the body follows. And the thing is a lot of people's maybe mental choices are impaired by an unconscious attitude or belief system that they have inside them. You know, I always say the hardware is clean and bare and doesn't have any programs, but the programs that is running in your personal hardware oftentimes have to do with what you were subjected to as a child, as a kid, during formative life, maybe in relationships, your environmental situation, your economic situation, your psychological situation, all these sort of things have an impact to who you are, but they are changeable. I mean, the hardware will play any machine that's going on. And so if you're having challenges getting to your goals or even selecting your goals, you have to go out and seek some professionals in that area and get someone to help you overcome and direct your personal mental beliefs and your attitudes. And then finally, we get to education, testing, and coaching, or et cetera. And the education testing components are like this. If you want to achieve something, first you need awareness about it, and then you need to learn about it and find out how to achieve it yourself. That is the educational process. Now, in order to determine accurately if what action you're taking in that education process, is working, you need some form of testing. And one of the great things I learned in bodybuilding is it's very easy to test yourself on a daily basis. You know how many reps you did. You know how strong you are. You know what your body fat percentage is. You know how much you weigh. You know how quickly you can do your workouts or how much volume did. There's all these different testing mechanisms built right into the sport automatically. And you can duplicate this in any single field related to health and vitality. And then finally in that list is coaching. The reality is we live in an ever-changing, complex world. I mean, it's changing so fast. Careers come and go. We're being subjected to millions of messages, which I believe are generating mass confusion and an impaired ability to make accurate decisions based on the information being presented to us. So how do we achieve what we want to do? Well, chances are you're going to need some form of coaching. Every single high-performance athlete that has ever achieved anything has one, if not many, coaches, and over a course of a lifetime, many coaches. So a coach is a wonderful relationship that someone takes your best interest in mind and gives you productive and effective feedback based on how you're doing, moving towards your goals, and how to better improve or produce better results. And the relationship that one has with a coach is maybe one of the purest forms of relationship on the planet, because there is absolutely none of the other garbage that can kind of weed into a relationship. It's just a coach and an athlete working towards a common goal. It's almost like a symbiotic relationship. And nowadays, we have coaches in every area of life, not just health and fitness, because of the changing and increasing complex world. It's not like the world where you went and got a job, you worked at the same thing and did that the rest of your life and you died, like, you know, 100 years ago or something. You know, you change careers and lifestyles and things every other year nowadays. So having coaches to help you cut the learning curve down is of paramount importance. So that is the awesome formula. And each person is able to use the formula, assess where they're at, and go back to the place where they can put the time, their energy, and their resources to get the most effect for the least amount of effort.
Wow. Well, I can literally say that was awesome.
Thank you.
I'm going to commit that one to memory. Now, you must have this written down. Is that available in your courses or in any of your books?
Yes, it is. It's in my book, Vital Power, and it's also available. I give out a free ebook off my Maximum Vital Power website for people to put these principles into action themselves right away.
Awesome. So let's talk about Vital Power. What is that all about, your book?
Yeah, Vital Power was kind of the summation of how I arrived at all these conclusions and how to literally develop a program in the world that makes sense, that's based on both science and experience, that is simple, easy to follow, and provides you not just the way of doing it, but the resources you require so that a person feels confident making those decisions, and also the help you develop the ability to make assessments in your own life. In other words, what kind of tests would I need to make assessments, or what books should I, you know, examine in order to understand the philosophy?
I see. So now I know you're into water in a big way and you talked about water, but just in a nutshell, what are some of the basic principles or rules that the athlete needs to understand about, like, the amount of water and the type of filtration system that you recommend, things like that?
Well, I think the first thing is there's good, better, and best. And we always want to be making the best possible choice that we can. It'd be great if we all lived in close to a nice, beautiful aquifer or mountain stream, but in the modern world, that's just not readily accessible for everyone. Because, you know, nature, I always believe, makes absolutely the best components. And we only, through technology, we try and, you know, get to what nature's already created. So in my search for water, I found that there are a few things that I'm really concerned about, or I try to get as an athlete. The first thing is I want a higher pH water. And what that means is, on the alkalinity chart, is having it slightly alkaline or a little bit more than slightly. You know, I like to drink a water, a pH of 8.5 to 9.5 to help me deal with all the acids that are produced from metabolism, from exercise performance, and these type of things. And I find that is a positive step in the right direction. The second thing I look at is I look at the water that has been structured properly. In other words, that it is small enough cluster that it can be absorbed by the cells. If we look at water today, and going back to that video, Water the Great Mystery. There's some beautiful stuff on there. Inside that, they've shared with us that water comes in clusters of molecules. It's not just single H2O molecules. And water that comes through a tap or that has been sitting in a plastic bottle, the cluster is not normal, like a, you know, five or six-sided structure, a five or six-molecule structure. It might be 15 to 20. Now, the name of the fellow just skips my mind, but there was a Nobel Prize winner that demonstrated the effects of how the body puts water into the cell. It's called the aquaporin theory. And he won a Nobel Prize for it. And basically what happened is he demonstrated that the size of these clusters determines how much water gets inside the cell. And a simple and easy test for people to test their own water is to drink whatever water you're having. So take a liter of water and drink it down. Now, if the water is sloshing around in your stomach and hasn't been absorbed, you can thereby tell that the water's structure is too big to actually get through the osmotic pressure in these aquaporins inside the cell. So you're drinking the water, but you're not hydrating at a cellular level, which is the most important part. It's not what you consume, it's what actually gets delivered to the cells. So I look at technology that is able to make a water that is actually a smaller or lower osmotic pressure that it can get inside these cells. And by doing that, I have a format of restructuring. There's a lot of different ways to do it, a lot of different technologies, and I choose a particular one. But I think getting water that gets absorbable is important. And, of course, when you drink the water that you're drinking, it shouldn't sit around and slosh in your stomach no matter how much you drink. And I have that's an easy, simple test that everybody can do. And the final thing that I look at in water is what is its oxidization reduction potential. In other words, you can take water and turn it into one of the most potent electrical-based antioxidants in the world. Now, that's exciting to me because, you know, anyone that's taking your course, Corey, understands how important it is to get antioxidants inside the body. In other words, you know, antioxidants are so paramount in our world today as we have so many free radicals, not just from our regular metabolism, but from our diets, from the environment, from pollutions, from chemicals and pesticides that may have gotten into our food supply, even if we're, you know, meticulous about what we eat. So addressing that issue is of great importance, and I think the Japanese have led the way, and they've been doing this for over 40 years, and so I always study excellence, and if they're doing this in hospitals and medical centers, and they're having profound results, and they have one of the longest living, healthiest populations in the world, I'm going to start there and work my way backwards. The other thing is, I think when it comes to water, is also recognizing that the plastic bottle situation, that everybody's drinking water out of plastic bottles, is having a massive environmental impact on our society. I mean, in America alone, there's 40 million plastic bottles going into landfills every day. There's five giant plastic bottle dumps in the major oceans of the world, you know, the biggest one being in the Pacific, which is like 2.5 times the size of Texas and 300 feet deep, mostly plastic bottles, surfing around that is, you know, polluting our ecosystem that helps us survive. So we need to find a solution to actually make and produce our own water on our home that is clean, devoid of chemicals, and gives us the best chance to reduce our antioxidants and hydrate our body.
And is there a particular device that you recommend that people can use at home to actually achieve the proper pH and to restructure the water, for example?
Yeah, absolutely. Personally, I have found that a company called Enagic makes what's called a Kangen water machine. And I have their best version of that version, and I'm able to make five different types of water, which, and that sounds kind of crazy, but I'm able to make water of varying pHs that I can disinfect, cuts, burns. It'll kill E. coli, Salmonella, MRSA, all the big bacteria that we're having problems with. I can make water for my skin. I can make water that hydrates my body. I can even make water that will emulsify oil. And this is important because I can wash all my fruits and vegetables with this solution, and it takes all the herbicides and pesticides and fungicides that may have got onto that, because I'm finding that even a lot of the organics that I'm buying have those things on. It was organically grown, but on the way to my doorstep, it got blasted with some kind of chemical. So for me, that is of paramount importance, and that's why I choose the Kangen machine, because it has the longest history, and I feel it's the best made product on the market in that area.
Awesome. I love it. Awesome. Every time I say that now, I'm going to think about you, Wade.
That's
Listen,
great.
We're out of time. It's just amazing how fast it flies. I could talk to you about a whole lot of other things and really enjoy it, as I know that our members and students would. But let's just quickly go to your website. What's the address to your sites and tell us what we'll find there?
Sure thing. People go to Maximum Vital Power. I think that's pretty easy to spell. MaximumVitalPower.com. You can go on there. I would just say join the team. You can get in there. We have some articles on the site. But more importantly, is I give away a free ebook that outlines the principles that I advocate, along with a 30-day coaching program going over each point in succession and providing all my friends and clients and people who join the site to just come in and get educated and start learning and find the resources they need to produce optimal health and vitality.
Excellent. Great, great, great. Well, man, I've really enjoyed our time together, and thank you so much. And I'm going to just throw something out at you, something that I have thought a lot about, as I'm sure you have. But ultimately, in the end, what's it all about? Well, that means, I guess, a whole lot of things to different people. But for me, the health-centered consciousness, the desire to be well all my life has been what has driven me. It gives me incentive to live. It's what makes everything happen. So what does optimum health really mean to you?
That's a great question. And for me, it is first giving gratitude for this wonderful machine that I have called a human body, and to actually take action that advance its form, its function, its ability, so I can grow it into its best possible expression. And it's been a delightful journey. I've learned so much from you, Corey, and I continue to learn from you and all the great people that you put in contact with us. It's a great experience and a great way to live a life, and I encourage anyone that hears it to continue to pursue it, because it rewards like nothing else.
Wade Lightheart is a 3-time Canadian national natural bodybuilding champion. He's a wellness author. He's an elite athletic trainer, founder of a new institute, and this man is just committed to health and wellness and education. So get to his site. Wade, we thank you very much for what you're doing. Keep on trucking.
Thanks so much, Corey. Have yourself an awesome day.
We hope you've enjoyed the topics discussed and our special guest interview on this edition of Sports Nutrition Update. SNU is produced monthly and is distributed internationally by the Corey Hawley Institute. To learn how you can subscribe to this unique and motivational audio program, please visit CoreyHawley.com or call us toll-free in the U.S. and Canada at 1-866-433-1595. That's 1-866-433-1595. This is Scott Barrett, wishing you the very best of health and fitness for life.
Represent his lifestyle. New way of life. Listen. It's SNU. Sing along, it's true. Yo, coming through straight. Malik with Sports Nutrition Update. Prolong your life. Live long, stay strong, for it won't be long till your time is gone. So I sing this song to pass on wisdom. Hit us up at CoreyHawley.com. Love your life, live right, things will be alright. Knowledge is key, just follow our lead. You'll see a change in heart and health, which leads to wealth and higher self-esteem. Follow your dreams and see. Follow your dreams and see.